Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. Glad to see you all here this morning. A few announcements as we begin this morning. If you have your bulletin, there's two inserts in there for you to take a look at, and it has a lot of different announcements on there. I think one in particular there that is coming up soon is that community Thanksgiving service. And that's going to be here at Moscow. So we're hosting this year. That community Thanksgiving service gets moved around from year to year. But this year it is being moved to here. And so if you can't be a part of that, be sure to come to that. It'll be here on Tuesday, November the 21st. Of course, it's 7 o'clock p.m. And the pastor from Emmanuel will be the one that is sharing that evening with us. So we look forward to hearing him. Also on the back of that, there is a Christmas movie at the Sipe Center. We did this last year, and it's free to all the children, and of course those adults that bring them as well. It's free. We've rented the Sipe Center. We're going to be sharing the newer Grinch movie. I don't know if you've seen that. It's not the one with Jim Carrey, but the animated one. And there's a lot of good messages in that movie as well. So we settled on that and thought it would be fun for all the kids. So bring out your grandkids, bring your children, bring your great-grandchildren, and just come and be a part of that fun time. Concessions will be available for that. And we look forward to having a good day there. That's 1 to 2:30 p.m. on Saturday, November 25th. Also, on this other little insert, just a reminder that the fall CBM is going to be taking place next Sunday, November 19th. We will have a Thanksgiving fellowship meal here, and it will be followed by our fall CBM meeting. And we ask that you just bring a dish or two and stay for just that enjoyable time. There is listed out on the narthex there on the bulletin just those positions that we are searching for people to be called into. So I would ask you to be praying about that as we move towards that special day here at church. Also, just note there, you men, maybe you're looking for something to do and help out. There's a community woodcutting day that's happening on Saturday, November the 18th. The NRMA is wanting to do a woodcutting day. We're hoping to get lots of men, or women too, really. It's not just men. Anyone can participate. And we're going to be cutting and splitting wood. This wood is used for the community wood project, where people in our community that might need firewood to warm their home, maybe they don't have wood, they can have this resource that they can pull from, and it doesn't cost them anything. It's all, of course, free, and we certainly are glad we have that. It's helped a lot of people in the past. And we're just thankful that we have the strength to go out and help others in Jesus' name. So if you can help with that, maybe talk to me after church and I can get you all the information so that you'll be ready on this coming Saturday to go out and cut wood with the rest of the group. Is there other announcements that you'd like to make? I think one there on the back of your bulletin, the flowers this morning are in memory of Shirley Ware, and I shared with Billy earlier, they're certainly beautiful, and they remind us just how beautiful Shirley was and is now there in heaven with the Lord. So we certainly remember her and praise the Lord for her and her life. Thank you, Billy, for having the flowers there this morning. Yes?
There is a sign-up sheet for cookies for November 21st.
Okay. Yes, and that's for the fellowship, the CBM. That's for the. That's right. There's so many dates. The Thanksgiving service. Michelle has a list out there of donations you can make. I think cookies. They're looking for cookies. We'll have just a short time of fellowship after that, and we'll need, you know, dozens of cookies to help out with that. So if you would like to sign up to donate some cookies for the Thanksgiving service, please sign up. Or if you have questions, see Michelle. She's at the back here, and we'll talk with you. Thank you, Michelle. Of course, choir practice is continuing on, and we look forward to the choir blessing us, not only at the Thanksgiving service. Okay, need some men. I need to get into gear and get in here. I know I've been kind of slacking a little bit. But yeah, if there's other men that would like to participate in the choir, there's still time. Please do. So take advantage of that. Anything else? With that, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, we just praise you for the blessings, even as we just, a couple weeks here, or a week away from, 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving, Lord. We just are mindful of how we are truly blessed by you. Lord, we thank you so much. Our hearts are lifted up this morning to you, Lord, because, Lord, you bless us so richly. Lord, you bless us in so many ways. And Lord, we just give you praise for the blessings we receive from you. We thank you for the real blessing, the highest blessing, which is the receiving of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we just praise his name here this morning, Lord. We thank you for the salvation, the gift of love that he offers to every person, no matter what language they speak or what color they are. Lord, your love goes forward to the whole entire world. And you died that the entire world might be saved through your Son, Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for that love which we have received through him. We worship you this morning in that love. And we seek to love others even as you have loved us. Father, we praise you now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand together for this morning's call to worship. You'll find this inside of your bulletin. This is coming from portions of John chapter 14. It says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him." Let's turn in our hymnal to page 552, "On Jordan's Stormy Banks," page 552. Thank you. We are bound for the promised land, aren't we? That's what we're going to be looking at today, heaven. And boy, I think we all just need to put our minds more on the thoughts of heaven and what awaits us there in that glorious place. We're traveling to a destination, aren't we? And we're just here for a short, brief time. But heaven awaits us, and we look forward to the day in which we will reach that glorious destination there in heaven. Okay, I want to take just a few minutes here to gather up our prayer requests, our prayer concerns. A few that I'll mention to you. First of all, would you continue to be in prayer for Charlotte? Today is Charlotte Grimm's birthday, and she turns 90 years old. I hope that you had a chance to send her a card. Maybe if you forgot, you could still send her one. I'm sure it would be okay. But she was recovering from flu and COVID, and so she's doing a little bit better, but of course at 90 it takes a little more to get over those things. So if you would just lift her up in prayer, pray for her recovery. She has recently moved to Bridgewater Home, and let's see if it's in here. Yes, the new address is in the bulletin for you, so you have that there. And we just continue to pray for Charlotte and just thank God that that she is doing well and doing better. So, and we celebrate with her on this birthday, her birthday. Also, if you would continue to lift up my granddad, Vance Knott. As Pauline shared last week, he had surgery on his leg. That surgery went well, and he's recovering from that now. So I just ask if you'd continue to lift up both Vance and Pauline in your prayer, especially Vance as he recovers from that surgery on his leg. Also, if you would lift up the Covenant Brethren Church in Africa. I know that's kind of feels foreign or distant for us. For sure it is a long ways. But we were at, myself and Fred Shank was at a meeting in Fairmont, West Virginia yesterday. And during that meeting, we connected. Boy, technology is just an amazing thing. We connected by Zoom to churches in Africa. And we've got to be introduced to about, I'd say, 10 or 12 pastors, brand new pastors there in Africa. And they were able to see us. We were able to see them. It was really an amazing thing. And they shared with us their name and where they were from and that they were a pastor. And so it was just amazing to see what God is doing in the African church. And these are brand new church plants. This isn't Church of the Brethren moving over to Covenant Brethren. These are brand new church plants. So God is moving, and His Spirit's moving. And I would just ask that you would lift up your brothers and sisters in Africa and pray for them. One of the things that was shared with us during that meeting, Scott Kinnick is kind of the head of church planting for the Covenant Brethren. One of the things he said is that when he travels to these different churches, no matter if it's in Guatemala or Africa or wherever, that he feels the same spirit as if he would come and worship with any church right here in America. That it's all the same spirit of God, and that he feels welcomed. And although there's a language barrier, of course, that he still feels so welcomed and just that same spirit of Christ's love in that body. So we just praise the Lord for that. Hopefully we'll get to, you'll get to hear more and more about the African church, the work that they're doing as that church grows. And we just praise the Lord for it. If you would, just put Scott Cook. Scott's here, and he asked to be put on the prayer list this morning. He's taking some medicine, and the medicine's working. So we praise the Lord for that, but we just pray for his continued healing, and we just continue to lift him up in prayer, Scott. And just glad to see your family here with you this morning. What a blessing. Also, Joe O'Gork, we certainly lift Megan's husband up that he's not been feeling well. There is a lot of flus and bugs going around, so we just need to continue to pray for those that are suffering from those sort of viruses and sicknesses, and that God would just bring them healing as they fight those things. Are there other prayers that you would like to share or praises? Anything else? With that, I'm going to have our ushers to come forward and to collect our tithes and our offerings. Yes, let's stand together in prayer. One of the things that we want to add to our list of praises is right after Veterans Day, and we celebrate our veterans, don't we? We appreciate their service, their sacrifice, and I know there's veterans in our congregation, and we are thankful for each one that has served in that capacity. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the blessings we have in this nation, blessings to come forward here this morning and to worship you. Lord, we know that these freedoms weren't free, but Lord, at many times they were bought with a cost, with a price, Lord. At times many people have given their life to ensure that these freedoms continue on. Lord, we thank you for those that have served, Lord, to protect the freedoms, to protect us, Lord, to protect this nation. Lord, we know that your hand is upon this nation. Lord, we pray that your hand will continue to be upon the nation of America. Lord, I pray that we will be that shining light to the world around us. And Lord, that light that we must shine, it has to be your light, that light of love, that light of truth, that light of grace and peace. Lord, that's the light that we're to shine forth into the world today. That is what truly has and will make America a great nation. Lord, that will allow us to continue to receive your blessing, Lord, if we are proclaiming these truths to the world today. Lord, help us to remain faithful to Your Word. Lord, help us to remain faithful to practice Your Word in our life and in our deed, to live out Your Scripture, Lord. Not just to be words on a page, but Lord, that we're living these things each and every day as You call us to them. Lord, we praise You. We thank You, Lord, that You have blessed us in this way. And Lord, we know that along with that blessing comes a great responsibility. And Lord, we pray that You help us to live up to that calling, Lord, that high calling which You place upon each one of our lives, Lord, to live even as Your Son lived and to do even as Your Son has done. So Father, we praise His name. We praise the name of Jesus here this morning. Lord, we offer up our prayer list this morning to You, knowing, Lord, that You hear our prayer, You hear our concern. Pray for those that are sick, Lord, and going through viruses and, Lord, more severe treatments, more sickness, Lord, and treatments that they're going through. Lord, just pray that You be with each person upon our list, and, Lord, that You provide healing as only You can. Work through the doctors and nurses, I pray, to have Your will done. Lord, we continue to thank You for our offertory, Lord, that we offer it to You. And Lord, that it is a blessing to You. And Lord, that You continue to bless those that seek to give faithfully unto You. Father, we praise You now and just bless us as we turn to Your Word. Again, seek to hear what Your Son Jesus has to tell us. And Lord, just open our hearts to hear Your Word and to receive that Word into our heart. Let us be not just hearers, but doers of Your Word. Lord, we praise You. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. May be seated. Okay, our children's church and our youth Sunday school can be dismissed. I think we're in what is the last of two sermons here in this series on what did Jesus say? And it's been good, these great topical discussions. But I figured I would end on two of them, this week and next week, end on two themes I think that hopefully are on our minds as well as a lot of people's minds. And that is the topic of heaven and hell. And this Sunday we're going to look at what did Jesus say about heaven. And then next Sunday we're going to look at what did Jesus say about hell. You know, a lot of preachers aren't preaching much about hell today, but God had a lot to say, and Christ had a lot to say about hell. There was various places throughout the Gospels where Jesus tells us about hell and warns us, really. It's always as a warning when we're talking about hell. But when it comes to heaven, it's not a warning, but a rejoicing thing within the Scriptures. It's something that we look forward to, isn't it? Something that we're moving towards. Something that we should all delight in, the thought of heaven. God wants us to delight in that thought, knowing that He has prepared a place for us. Isn't that what the call to worship that you read said there in John 14? That He's prepared a place for us. And He's going to receive us, the Scripture says, there unto Himself. You know, sometimes maybe that verse feels foreign to us or feels like maybe it won't ever be, but trust me, one of these days you're going to need that Scripture more than ever and that promise that He's prepared a place that while it might not feel that important right now, one day it will be extremely important, knowing that God has prepared you a place that when it's your time and this volume of your life is going to be closed here upon this world, that God has made ready preparations for the life hereafter, that your life continues on in a new glorious form, and that the Lord has taken care of the preparation Himself to receive you there unto Himself. And that He goes to say that where He is, there you will be also. Isn't that a wonderful thought? What a blessed thought it is in our mind to know that where Christ is, one day we will be too. All those that have received Jesus and have have received that promise then of heaven will receive that which is prepared for us there in heaven. So let's look here at Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43 here. 39 through 43. It says, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, this is Jesus, he's blaspheming Jesus, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember, these things are being said as the Jesus and these criminals are hanging on the cross there beside each other. And Jesus said to him then, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. You will be with me in paradise. You know, I think of all the topics I've looked at so far about what did Jesus say, in my mind, I think this is probably maybe one of the most important ones. What did Jesus say about heaven? I think it's important for us to know. It's important for us to hear the promises of God regarding what is to come. You know, if this is all that there is, boy, there's not a whole lot to live for, is it? This is all we're to gain is the sinfulness of this world or the difficulties of this world. Boy, that doesn't give you much hope. But if we're to receive something else, if we're to have receive that promise that better things are to come, boy, that's worth living for, isn't it? And that's worth living for God for and living for Jesus, because we know that that there's better things to come, that heaven is a real place, isn't it? This is not some fairy tale that we talk about. It's not, some mythological place like you would see in a movie or something of that sort. Heaven is a real location. I'm sure heaven has its own address. We just, of course, it's not made revealed to us. We know how to get there. We know the path. We know the plan. And so it's a real place. It's a real location. It has a real purpose. God has prepared this place for us. Heaven is real, and that is good news for each one of us. And that everyone can go there. Now, notice I said everyone can go there. I didn't say everyone will go there. There's a lot of people today thinking that everyone's going to heaven as long as you've just lived good enough. You've just done more good, maybe weigh your life in the balances, that I've done more good than I've done bad, then obviously God's going to be gracious and I will inherit heaven. But that's not what the Scriptures say. That's not what the Bible tells us. Heaven is for everyone, but not everyone will go there. The only way that a person can get to heaven, as we've seen there in our call to worship, what's it say? Except through who? Jesus is what it says. Except through me. No one can come to the Father except through me. So there's one way. There's one way in which we can inherit this place of heaven. And it's not, as some people would think, just open to everyone or open to those if you're just good enough. That's not the standard by which we can enter into heaven. That might be our standard, but it's not God's standard. And God's standard says that no one can get there unless through Christ and Christ alone. There's no work that you can do that will earn you a place in heaven. Heaven is not earned, it's given. It's a gift, isn't it? You know, if it's something that is earned, it's a reward. Sometimes we'll get into our mind that heaven is a reward. And it's not so much of a reward as it is a gift. You know, when you receive a reward, you kind of have to do something, don't you, to earn that. You know, it's something that is due you. If you run a race and you place first, you have earned first place, right? But heaven is not something that is rewarded to us so much as it is given to us. It's a gift. And so we can't do anything. We can't necessarily do anything ourselves to earn the reward of heaven. Yeah, there's no work that I can do that God will look down upon Darren and say, oh my goodness, look at that Darren. He's created such a wonderful work. His reward is heaven. He's dedicated his life to me, serving me, pastoring. So obviously, Darren's reward is heaven. That's not how it works, is it? No, it's not how it works. The gift is that I've come and pledged my life to Christ. I've received the free gift of His salvation. And then through that is the gift of eternal life. It's nothing that I've done, but everything that Christ has done for me. So where the Bible would go, where am I to boast? Am I to go around saying, well, I've got all these wonderful works, that all these things that I've done, that God will look down upon me with favor and pleasure, that I've earned my place there in the kingdom of God? No. That's not what the Scripture says. There is no boasting. That all fall short is what the Bible said. All are sinful. You know, I wouldn't trust the best day I ever lived in my entire life to get me into gates of heaven, because it won't get me there. And your best day won't get you there either. The only way that you enter into that true, real place of heaven is through Christ and Christ alone. Amen? Amen? There we go. Now you're alive. Heaven is not something that is earned. It is something that is given. It is not necessarily a reward, but a gift. And Jesus Himself is the one that hands it out. All those who come through Him, He says, will be given the gift of eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? It's the gift we receive from Christ, from loving Him and receiving Him as Lord and Savior. I was just talking with someone here recently, and I invited them. I said, you need to come to church. Come on Sunday. Come. It's welcome. You're welcome to come. The doors are open. Just come and be a part of the worship service here. And it was interesting. The reply back was kind of different than I expected. But the person, individual said, well, I believe we're all worshiping God. That no matter if I was at your church or some other church, is kind of the thought he was saying. I believe everybody's worshiping the one God. And I thought, oh boy. Well, he needs to come quick. He's a little mistaken there. That it's not just everybody serving one same God. That's not what the Scriptures say. That if you're Muslim and worshiping God, that you're worshiping the same God as the Christians, or that you're, you know, Buddhist, that you're worshiping the same God as the Christians. It's a really nice thought that we're all just worshiping the same one God, and that if we just live faithful enough to that God in which we've chosen, that God, because He's a God of love and God of goodness, that He'll just reward everybody because they were faithful. It has to do with just being faithful. Not about necessarily who it is you're worshiping, but that you're just faithful, that you're sincere. I think that's the idea, that as long as a person is sincere in their beliefs, that sincerity is enough to make it more valuable than truth. In today's world, sincerity is more valuable than truth, isn't it? That's what you find these protesters out there. They're sincere. Doesn't matter about truth. What's true just matters that they're sincere in what they're protesting or what they're saying. And so it seems like the world values sincerity. And they want to apply that to religion. As long as you're sincere in your religion, doesn't matter which religion that you've chosen, but all roads lead to heaven is kind of the idea. And that's not what Christ said. That's not what the Bible declares. And I find it somewhat confusing at times to think a person could come to the idea that if we're all serving one God, that one God is telling one group to strap a bomb to your back and blow yourself up in a group of civilians, kill the infidel, and that same God is telling another group, love thy enemies. Now that's either a confusion of that this one God. I think that's either a confusion in their mind or that's one confused God, right? That God could tell one group, kill the infidels, and the other group, love thy enemy. You couldn't possibly reason that one God would be saying those two completely opposite things to people. We must serve different gods. The real problem, I think, when it comes to this belief that one God fits all, is not only is it not theologically true or logically true, Jesus, of course, never taught that. That's what the truth is. Jesus never taught that. He never said that there was just multiple ways to heaven. He said there is but one way to serve God. There is one way to reach heaven. And no man can come to the Father except through me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life. The belief is in Christ, isn't it? In Him. John 14:6, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Romans 10:9. Because He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. John 3:3, truly, truly, I say it unto you, Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on them. Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Philippians 2:9-11. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him, that is Christ, and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name. To that all, in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And heaven and earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Boy, it's not just one little piece of scripture I'm picking out, is it? Over and over and over and over again in the scriptures, it's calling you to Christ Jesus, that only through Him and Him alone will you make it to heaven. That's it. There is no one big umbrella of God that envelops every religion. It doesn't exist. It's a nice thought in our mind, but it's not truth. And sincerity doesn't matter in this issue. You might be sincere as you want in your religion. You might be sincere and devout a Muslim or a Buddhist or any other religion as you want to be. But friends, sincerity does not get you into heaven. It's not a work that opens the golden gates. There is one person who opens the gates of heaven for you, for the whole world, and His name is Christ Jesus. That's it. There is no other way. We're not all serving the same God. There is one way and one way alone into paradise, and it is through Christ. Now, this man upon the cross, he's beside, he's dying, he's hanging on a cross, and the one man that can get him into heaven is there hanging right beside him. Boy, what a blessed day it is for him. There beside him is the one person that can guarantee him, that is the only person that has the authority or the ability for him to enter into heaven. And he speaks to Jesus. Indeed, he says, "We justly have received this reward." But this man, he looks at Christ, he sees no sin in him. He's done nothing to deserve this. What has he done? And then he looked at Jesus and he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He recognized, didn't he, that Jesus is King. He's Lord Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, you will be with me in paradise." You know, I looked up what the word paradise means. I looked it up in the old 1828 Webster Dictionary. I don't know how many of you know there's the original Webster Dictionary. If I look up words, I don't use the newer application of the dictionary. Everything's woke anymore. You can't trust anything. If you go back far enough, you can find things that are still true to and not influenced by the worldly things, it seems. And so I looked it up in the 1828 Webster Dictionary. It says, "Paradise is a place of pleasure. It's a place of bliss," it says. "It's a region of supreme felicity and delight." I had to look up felicity too. And felicity is this paradise, Garden of Eden kind of description. A place where Adam and Eve, it says, were placed immediately after creation there, even in the Webster's Dictionary. And this is what Jesus is saying to this man. It's kind of a descriptive word, isn't it? "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." It's a descriptive word. Jesus is describing for this person. Well, think of the place where he was. It was a place of cruelty. It was torture, right? He's saying you're going to go from torture, all the bad things that describe what he was going through, and you're going to go to a place of paradise. Of paradise. It's a beautiful descriptive word that is describing heaven. Have you ever been on vacation and you go somewhere and they have postcards, you know, and they might have pictures of where you're at? And sometimes, I've seen this before, that sometimes, you know, you have this beautiful picture of where you're at, and they'll have kind of these arching words over the top of it, "paradise." And you send that back, you know, fill that out, send that to someone. They can see that you're in paradise, wherever you are. Maybe you're at Hawaii or in the Caribbean, or, you know, you're at some beautiful resort. And that word paradise just describes, doesn't it, kind of how you're experiencing this place that you are. And you know, that word paradise, really, it's a descriptive word there. It's about the experience, I think, even of heaven. How a person would experience heaven, it would be like paradise. Well, I like that, don't you? We get to heaven, it's going to be paradise for us. paradise. I got to thinking, what makes heaven such a paradise? What is it about heaven that it's a paradise for us? Well, I give you three things. I could go through all the scriptures, I guess, and pull it out, but I'll just give you three things here. Three R's. First of all, the word removed. And the scripture to go along with that, Revelation 21:4, and God will wipe away every tear, it says, from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That's removed, isn't it? What makes heaven so wonderful, friends, is that we are removed away from the sufferings, the pain, the tragedy, the hardship of this world. You're not going to find that in heaven. In fact, it says there that the tears will be wiped away. Now, I tell you, if you live here very long, you'll cry some tears, won't you? You're here very long. Well, in fact, most babies come out with tears, don't they? Come out crying. But if you live here very long, you will experience sadness. You'll experience suffering. You'll experience tragedy. You'll experience loss. And sometimes the tears come out of our eyes, and sometimes there's tears that we cry from our hearts, don't we? But we're saddened. It can be a very difficult place. This world can be at times very cruel. And I'm preaching to the choir here, aren't I? We all know it. It can be quite cruel. And for some, it seems crueler for some than others. I don't know why. For some, they have to endure a level of cruelty that it just seems unbearable to me at times. But we all experience cruelty in this world, don't we? We're all victims of the fallenness of this world. Don't you just thank God that one day that's all going to go away? Praise the Lord. One day the Lord is going to remove away all those sorrows from your heart, from your life. There have been no more tragedies. There'll be no more loss. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow or crying in your life. But these things, these former things, the scriptures say, will be passed away. Boy, praise God, right? Oh, praise the Lord for that. Not only will we be removed, the second word I want you to hear is received. Received, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 there it says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And we are confident, verse 8 it says there. Yes, well pleased rather. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Listen, you're in one of two places. You're either here on earth. If you're saved, you're either here on earth, or when you are absent from your body, you are going to be present there with the Lord. You're going to be received up into the kingdom of God. He says, "I'm going ahead to prepare that place for you." So why? So that when the time comes that you're going to be removed from the things of this world and received up into the things of God. Amen? We're going to be removed away from the bad things of this world and going to be received right up into the presence of God. That where I am, he says, there you may be also. That to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's no in between. There's no purgatory. There's no dwelling or stopping spot in between. The Bible says it happens like the twinkling of an eye. It happens very fast. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. One day, we move from this dwelling place to another, don't we? To a house not made with hands. This old tent, it's describing our body. He describes God's describing your body as an old worn out tent. Now, how many of us can say amen to that? And as we age, the old tent gets worse and worse, doesn't it? You know, if you own a tent too long, you start springing leaks, don't you? And holes in it and everything else, it just wears right out. It's not to be lived in. You don't live in a tent. You might stay in a tent for a little bit, but you don't want to live in one. And that's how he describes our old body. It's like an old tent, but one day we're going to be given a mansion. That's the mansions that he's describing. And one day that we're going to receive that mansion up on yonder, that new heavenly body, one that won't wear out, one that doesn't need joint replacements, one that won't have to worry about high cholesterol and my heart clogging up and having a heart attack. One that won't have to worry about bad vision. You know, I've noticed here in the last few weeks that I'm losing my vision to read up close. I've reached the age. I thought it would never happen. I was determined that I was going to be able to read up close until I got really old. And guess what? It's not happening. I find that when I'm reading something now, I have to take my glasses off and hold it up close. So the next time I go to the eye doctor, I'm going to have to ask him to get me some bifocals so that I can read things without taking my glasses off. Just wearing out, aren't we? These old tents are wearing down. Thank God we'll be received up into that new glorious form there in heaven. Lastly, removed, received, last are rewarded. You're going to be rewarded in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? You're not rewarded with heaven, but you are rewarded in heaven. You hear that? You're not rewarded with heaven, but you are rewarded in heaven. Remember, heaven's a gift. But we will be rewarded there in heaven. Matthew 6:19, Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves can break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves there treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, nor whether thieves can break in or where thieves can break in and steal and destroy." Praise God. Listen, I hope you're laying up for yourself lots of treasures in heaven. You know, the treasures that you're laying up is those works that you're doing for Christ, for His glory. That's the works that's being built up for you. You'll be rewarded for that one day. Now, those works that you're doing for yourself and your own glory, the Bible says they all get burned up. Disappear. All those things that you did for yourself, for your own glory, they're all wasted works. But those things that you do in dedication to your service to Christ, think about that. You could do that every day. I'm going to dedicate this day to Jesus. I'm going to go forth. Whatever I do today, I'm going to do it in Jesus' name. I'm going to testify of all in all that I do. I'm going to try to make sure that Jesus gets the glory. Boy, there you've just racked up treasures in heaven, hadn't you? Those are the rewards that we receive when we get to heaven. Lord says that He'll put crowns upon your head. Boy, that'll be pretty nice. There's different crowns that the Scriptures talk about that you can receive. Do a little Bible study and get to digging in there and see what crowns you can receive there in heaven as a reward that God will give you. Ah, man. We're going to be rewarded, removed, received, rewarded. That's what makes heaven such a good place. You know, if a person down here doesn't like serving God, worshiping God, loving God, loving the Savior, then that person really isn't going to like heaven anyways. Why would they want to go there? Because that's all we're going to be doing, folks. We're going to be worshiping, loving God, praising our Savior. 1,000 years we'll just sing to Him our praises. I tell you, if you don't like praising Jesus down here, some people I think they have in their mind, I'm going to heaven. Well, they don't like worshiping Jesus now. I don't think they'll like heaven really if they went. Boy, but if you do love Jesus, you do love praising Him, you do love worshiping Him, heaven is going to be wonderful because that's what we're going to do. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for this Scripture reminding us, Lord, that this world is not our home, that, Lord, we're just a passing through, that one day soon, Lord, we're going to be received up into Your kingdom, and we look forward to that glorious day. Lord, I pray that we're encouraged by hearing these words, and, Lord, that we receive these promises, even those promises that come forth from the lips of Your Son, Jesus, that we receive them into our heart. And Lord, we put them in our mind as those things that we're moving towards in our life today. We praise You now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, let's gather in our closing hymn now. Page 554. One of my favorites. I'll Fly Away. Page 554. Let's stand together and sing. Excited as I am about going to heaven. Oh man, it's going to be wonderful, isn't it? Keep digging, keep searching, keep receiving those promises that the bad things of this world, we only endure them for a short period. Boy, but the good things, the eternal things of heaven, we will experience it forever and ever, won't we? Oh, praise the Lord for that. I'm looking forward to it. I pray you are too. Let's bow our heads and pray. Grace Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this word today. We receive it, Lord. We receive it, and Lord, You strengthen the hope that is within us, Lord. And Lord, you have us to trust in Your promise that one day soon, Lord, we will reach that sweet Beulah land. Lord, that land You have set aside for us, that You've prepared, that we will inherit. Because, Lord, not of anything that we've done, but Lord, the choice that we made, to receive Your Son Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I pray every person here can make that statement for themselves, Lord. They've received Your Son Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that now. Might your Holy Spirit move in the hearts of those that have been reluctant to receive. But Lord, I pray now that their hearts are open to receive your Son Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That they pray, Lord, that they are sinners. They confess their sin. But Lord, they seek to follow you now, to be your disciple, Lord, and to serve you. And Lord, as much as a person has prayed that, they too have been received in and given that wonderful gift of eternity. Lord, we praise you now. Bless us this week, I pray, till we meet again. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. These things together. Amen.